Let me get one thing straight. All mathematicians are crazy. They spend all day long thinking about numbers. Most of them are bald. All of them have beards. But out of all of the old, balded, bearded, crazy Greek dudes in all of mathematics, the oldest, craziest, baldest, beardest, Greekest of them all was Pythagoras. I became a maths teacher because I love numbers. I particularly like the number 4. I have a little bit of synesthesia, so to me the number 4 is a really nice shade of green, and I really like the color green, especially the color green generated when I think about the number 4. Pythagoras, on the other hand, loved numbers to an extent that even I can't quite contemplate. He actually believed that all numbers represented certain cosmic ideas. He believed that the number 1 was the creator number, because all whole numbers can be made up simply by adding together ones. The number 2 was female and represented a diversity of opinion. 3 was male and also represented harmony, because the number 3 is 1 plus 2, which is creation plus female. The number 4 stood for justice. The number 5 stood for marriage, because 5 is 2 plus 3, or female plus male. So Pythagoras had such a big thing for numbers, he actually formed a secret cult based entirely around them. This cult was actually fairly progressive for its time, which was at about the year negative 500. It was equal opportunity, there were male members, there were female members. Like all good cults, all the members were completely sworn to secrecy, but to the point that they weren't even allowed to write anything that they discovered down, and any idea that came out of the cult was actually credited to the cult itself, not to the individual. Now, there were a couple of other weird things going on with this cult. One of the weirdest I think of is the fact that they were all vegetarians. Now, I think vegetarians are inherently weird because there's nothing greater in the world than eating meat. But they were vegetarians for a kind of strange reason. They all believed in reincarnation, and they believed that if a person didn't live a good enough life, they could come back as an animal. So if you eat an animal that's actually reincarnated human soul, technically speaking, that you are actually committing the sin of cannibalism. Not wanting to become cannibals, they just decided it would be easy to become vegetarians. However, they also weren't allowed to eat beans. Now, there are a couple of reasons for this, or a couple of rumors for this anyway. One idea is that humans and beans are actually made out of the same substance. An idea that I'd like a little bit better is the belief that a human lifespan can be determined by how much breath you have. So the more you exhale, the more air comes out of your body, the shorter your life will be. Beans make you fart, beans make you expel more air, therefore beans will make you live a shorter life. In fact, the Pythagoras' dislike for beans apparently went so far that supposedly a group of men once came to his house when he was older, set fire to it, he ran out of the house, and when he was confronted with a big bean field that he had to run through to escape, he turned around and decided he would rather get hacked down by dudes with swords than actually have to touch a bean. Now, as I said, a lot of these things are just rumors because the Pythagorean cult weren't allowed to write anything down, so this is all hearsay and conjecture, but quite frankly, I like it because most of these stories are funny, so I'm willing to accept them as the gospel truth. Now, I mentioned that Pythagoras was a bit of a fan of numbers, but there was a type of number that he was particularly fond of. In fact, it was a type of number that he felt was the only type of number that actually existed, and this type of number is referred to as a rational number. A rational number is just a number that can be expressed as a fraction. So, a whole number, the number 1, the number 2, the number 0, these are all rational numbers, and so on, numbers like a half, and a fifth, and a quarter, and a ninth, and a 17th, and so on and so on. And Pythagoras was so in love with this, he actually used the idea of ratios and fractions to come up with the musical scale, what we know as the diatonic scale. So every note in the musical scale is actually a ratio or a fraction of different notes. So if you start with a note C and consider that to have a frequency of 1, then the F above that's got a frequency of 1 and a third, and the G above that's got a frequency of 1 and a half, and the C above that's got a frequency of exactly twice the original C. So clearly Pythagoras was a fan of these types of numbers, but as I suggested before, Pythagoras actually felt that these were the only types of numbers that could exist, and these rational numbers were like his children. But there is another type of number which is known as the irrational number, and these are numbers that can't be expressed as fractions at all, and you'll be familiar with numbers like these. For example, the number pi. The number pi is a very irrational number. Also, so are certain square roots, the square root of 2, the square root of 3, the square root of 5. All of these numbers are irrational, which means that you can't come up with a fraction that equals that number exactly. Now, one of those things that Pythagoras is the most famous for, or at least his cult is most famous for, is the Pythagorean theorem, which is to do with a right-angled triangle. So I'll run you through that quickly, just in case you've forgotten it from your high school days, which you've desperately tried to put behind you. If you have a right-angled triangle, it's made up of three sides. One of those sides, a diagonal one, is the hypotenuse. Now, if you take the length of the other two sides, you square them, you add them together, and then you take that number and you square root it, you get the exact length of the hypotenuse. And this is all well and good, until one of Pythagoras's followers, a man called Hypasus, actually figured out that if you take a right-angled triangle and the two side lengths are 1, and you square them and you add them together, you get 2, and you square root it, you get the square root of 2, and that's the length of the hypotenuse. So they went and made a bunch of triangles with side lengths of 1, and they tried to create the side length of the square root of 2 for the hypotenuse, using different lengths of sticks and stuff like that, to try to see if they could get it to fit into a nice rational number. And what they discovered was, you can't. Now, you'd think that Pythagoras would be excited about the fact that one of his followers had discovered a type of number which was previously unknown, but he wasn't. Pythagoras loved the rational numbers so much that he felt that if the secret of the irrational numbers got out to the general public, it would threaten the very fabric of society itself. Hypasus, on the other hand, being quite a nice, well-mannered, and lovely young man, wanted to get this secret out to the people. Pythagoras wasn't going to have anything to do with it. So the two of them met head-to-head on a bridge one day. Hypasus said that he was going to go into the world. Pythagoras yelled out, "None shall pass." Hypasus drew a sword. Pythagoras, being a wizard, launched a fireball at his head. A mighty fight broke out. The fight went on for 3 days and was very exciting and featured lots of very expensive special effects, but at the end of the day, Pythagoras won. He managed to sever Hypasus' head, reached into his chest cavity, took out his still-beating heart, and ate it to gain his strength. Some of these facts may be a little bit spurious, but we'll leave that up to the historian to decide what's true and what's not. What we do know is for real is that either Hypasus was simply expelled by the Pythagoreans for what he did, and a fake gravestone bearing his name was made as a bit of a threat, a bit of an ancient Greek severed horse head in the bed, if you will. Other historians believe that Hypasus was actually thrown overboard and drowned by the rest of the cult. We won't know. What we do know now is that Hypasus would be declared the winner. We accept the fact of irrational numbers, despite what Pythagoras wants us to believe, and quite frankly, both of them are probably dead now, so it's not really too much of a concern of ours. Still, Hypasus can claim to have the moral victory, of course, if you think about it this way. Out of Hypasus and Pythagoras, who's the most famous? Which one had you heard of before this podcast? Who would be more likely to get a table at an exclusive restaurant if they walked into it today? But I guess the point of this story is to highlight the fact that Pythagoras was as irrational as the numbers that he was so desperately trying to hide from the world. So the next time you're at a party and you're trying to pick up a guy, girl, or other with your knowledge of the Pythagorean theorem, you can just chuck in a few of these little tidbits to really try to impress them. It probably won't work, but at least I'll get a good laugh out of it. My name's Adam Van Langenberg, and for more episodes of Mathematical Punch-Ons, check the iTunes store.